been thinking about this a lot. A lot. And is it my original vision? No, of course not. But can it work? Yes, of course it can. I mean, it's just a matter of me making it work.
I couldn't agree more.
Things happen in the process. The history of television is filled with thousands of stories like this, where great shows, you know.
Yeah.
Somehow, sometimes, good shows just happen, you know. And, you know, you understand what I'm saying?
Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there flaking and perpetrating, but scared to kick reality.
Man, you've been doing all this dope producing. You ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
I'm expressing with my full capability, and now I'm living in correctional facility. Cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it gets funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat, and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what? I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well, I'm dropping English. Even if Yella makes it a cappella, I still express, yo, I don't smoke weed or sex. Cause it's known to give a brother brain damage, and brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing but making a sucker and you equal. Don't be another sequel.
Listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com. Cedric Muhammad.
Now, get back to the PG. That's program, and it's easy. Trey is back, New Jack's a man hollow. It's resonate the subject because they like to follow the words, the style, the trend, the records I spin again and again and again. Against it while I'm expressing myself. It's crazy to see people be what society wants them to be, but not me. Ruthless is the way to go. They know others say rhymes but fail to be original, or they kill where the hip-hop starts. Forget about the ghetto and rap for the pop charts. Some musicians cuss at home but scared to use profanity when up on the microphone. Yeah, they want reality, but you will hear none. They'd rather exaggerate a little fiction. Some say no to drugs and take a stand, but after the show they go looking for the dope man, or they ban my group from the radio here in WA and say hell no. But you know it ain't all about wealth, as long as you make a note to spread yourself.
Ending wackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com. Cedric Muhammad.
Then expression is a big part of it. You ain't efficient when you flow. You ain't swift, moving like a tortoise, full of rigor mortis. There's a little bit more to show. I got rhymes in my mind, embedded like an embryo or a lesson. All of them expression. And if you start fessing, I got a Smith & Wesson for you. I might ignore your record because it has no bottom. I get loose in the summer, winter, spring, and autumn. It's Dre on the mic getting physical. Doing the job in WA is the lynch mob. It's a macabre, but you know you need. And the knowledge is growing just like a fetus or a tumor. But here's the rumor, Dre's in the neighborhood and he's up to no good. When I start expressing myself, yell a slam it, cause if I stay funky like this, I'm doing damage. So I'ma be too hyped and need a straitjacket. I got knowledge and other suckers lack it. So when you see Dre, a DJ on the mic, ask what it's like we're getting hyped tonight. Cause if I strike, it ain't for your good health, but I won't strike if you just spread yourself.
Wackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com. Cedric Muhammad. Muhammad.
September 23rd, 2009.
the hottest show in the diaspora. Is brother Muammar Gaddafi still going? I need to know. Yes, he's still going. I'm watching Al Jazeera. I don't know what you're watching. But if you do have cable, you can get some international news. Brother Muammar Gaddafi, leader of Libya, has gone over his allotted time slot and then some. He's called for the United Nations General Assembly meeting to be moved from the United States to, quote, relieve America of this burden. Get the tape or get the transcript. A lot of powerful points he made. We'll chop up some of it in hour number two, next hour. CedricMuhammad.com, BlackElectorate.com, the flagships. I want to acknowledge early on the listeners from George Mason University. I had the honor of participating on a panel yesterday in the great state of Virginia. The discussion centered around President Obama. Three views. I was one of three, quote unquote, distinguished writers offering our diverse perspectives on the life and career and really the significance of President Obama. I gave remarks and I intend to put them out on my blog tomorrow, CedricMuhammad.com, exactly what I said in summary. But Sharice Carney Nunez, I believe that's how you pronounce her name. Sharice and I had a chance to talk. Very impressed. She is the author of children's books on President Obama. She made some very powerful points about the impact that he is having on young people, their self-concept, what they aspire to achieve. And also on the panel was Niall Stanage, author of Redemption Song, an Irish reporter inside the Obama campaign. He's from Ireland, had a very interesting perspective. Redemption Song, I expect one or both of them to join the program this fall, get more of their views. Let me hit the captain's log, or captain's blog as I call it. I'm going to touch on President Obama, who I am now referring to as a diasporic personality, cultural entrepreneur, and American emperor. Get into that. What an article in the Financial Times. Let me give you the title. Put this out on show prep. Why drug dealers are the perfect gurus during a recession. We'll read that on air. Yes, I did watch Brick City. Do a show review. No Shark Tank this week. Brick City, all my Newark representatives, if you've been watching Brick City on the Sundance channel, let me know. We'll talk about that a little later on in the show. China spreads aid in Africa with a catch. New York Times article that I want to touch on. Tavis Smiley drops Wells Fargo, but not so easy. Let me give you half an applause, some of you out there. I don't want to hear what you're against. What are you for? What are you willing to spend your money on? Could black-owned banks sponsor Tavis's show? Has that been discussed? Why is the big deal that Tavis is no longer doing business with Wells Fargo? Shouldn't the big deal be why Tavis may or may not have been doing business with black-owned banks? That's if you're in brother-brother, sister-sister mode. Where are U.S.-Russia relations headed? I want to get geopolitical for a minute. Get a little bit into the mind of the prime minister. Hold on, let me put the camera on me. I got something to show you all. Let me get it in position here. Hold on, let me see if I can do this. Let me get the applause going first before I even touch it. You see it? Yeah, you see that? The new book. Three copies sent to me. I almost hit the streets with this yesterday. Cedric Muhammad, The Entrepreneurial Secret. The book is ready. I'm wearing red, white, and blue just to cover my bases today. America. Bloods and Crips, and then I got my Kenya hat on. Hold on. Volume 2, The Entrepreneurial Secret to Starting a Business. The new book out October 7th. A lot of books. Hold on. And the all white. The cream joint, maybe you could call it. Volume 3, The Entrepreneurial Secret, my book, October 7th is the date. Very much looking forward to spreading the gospel. As those of you may or may not know, I am committed to putting entrepreneurship on par with civil rights and human rights issues. I don't believe you can even have one without the other. But that is the book. I'll flash it again. Go tell somebody, October 7th. Available at blackelectorate.com. Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. Okay, let me break down this view of President Obama that I have. Now, over the weekend, we've all been, for lack of a better word, inundated with discussions regarding the race focus put on President Obama, his media blitz. Is he being attacked differently than other Democrats? Is he being attacked because of his skin color rather than the quality of his ideas, the content of his character? No. The way the media depicts it, it's as if only white people are uncomfortable with President Obama. No. No tiki, no shirt. Not so fast. Black people have a problem with President Obama. But we are suppressing it in order to go along and in order to be supportive of him. Oh no. Black people have major problems with President Obama. Could see a little bit of it today in his UN speech. This man does not see himself as black or white. He's far more in his own mind, and in reality, he's actually right. If you saw his UN speech, let me know. I'm going to go through a medley of some of his appearances, but let me read some of what I said yesterday at George Mason University. I love that picture of President Obama at the Sphinx. Let me just give you an image of the man that I'm trying to interpret. Let me give you the Sphinx. Can you see it? Ooh, that's a hot pick. Classic shot right there. This is a little taste of what I said yesterday. Barack Obama arose at a time when black America was somewhere in between a cult of personality and a cult of ideology, in an era where partisan attachment to the Democratic Party is now equated with grassroots activism, and where independent institution building as a priority, a hallmark of the black power movement, has waned, obviously with an assist from the counterintelligence program of the FBI, a dimming of consciousness and apathy. But community development has come to mean a focus on quality of life issues and not a raw or rigid form of black nationalism. Enter an Ivy League educated lawyer, community organizer, and member of the black church. Barack Obama has navigated all of these worlds. Civil rights, black power, civic participation, and the prophetic voice with relative success. Because he is first and foremost a diasporic persona and a cultural entrepreneur. Listen up. I'm not just speaking about President Obama. I'm speaking about many of you who kind of don't know where you fit. The black / white thing doesn't work for you. What is that, you ask? What is a diasporic persona and a cultural entrepreneur? Well, he is that rare individual skilled in navigating the waters and traveling through that space and that time, which is shared by both an empire and a diaspora. The diasporic persona and cultural entrepreneur lives in and comes to power in the American Empire and its two dominant but separate societies, black and white. Go tell somebody I'm interpreting President Obama. I believe Muammar Gaddafi is still going. This is beautiful. The leader. Mm. Through immigration, dispersion, bloodline, creed, or belief, the diasporic personality and cultural entrepreneur have a connection to a homeland or a broader civilization outside of the country in which they now live. By nature, he internationalizes the individuals, events, circumstances, and institutions that he engages, as he is claimed by different communities. In the case of President Obama, he's claimed by Africans, Muslims, Southeast Asians, claimed by the Native Hawaiian and Aloha spirit, white Americans, black Americans. To get a picture of how one can become a diasporic personality, just think of Muhammad Ali, for example. When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave him that name in place of Cassius Clay, a black American born in the South, among people who could not travel, suddenly became a diasporic personality and cultural entrepreneur. He's mobile, cosmopolitan, sophisticated, and entrepreneurial. Jay-Z's one too, by the way. Jigga, also a diasporic personality and cultural entrepreneur. Again, he's mobile, cosmopolitan, sophisticated, and entrepreneurial. He embraces change, both technological and demographic. He definitely moves in and out of different perspectives and civilizations, which dovetails nicely with the Aloha spirit, which influenced President Obama in Hawaii, where he did middle and high school. His socialization skills and ability to adapt to different cultures is uncanny. But, this also makes him the ultimate challenge to rigid forms of identity, such as tribe, race, religion, ethnicity, political ideology, partisanship, and nationalism. He is foremost a universalist. He pushes back anytime he is pigeonholed or stereotyped. I'm trying to get to the root, or next to the root, of exactly why all of this controversy erupts over President Obama. It is not just white supremacy. It is not just racism from white people. Barack Obama is no ordinary personality or entrepreneur because of his day job, and that would be as President of the United States. He is the representative of the American Empire, which makes him like the captain of the Titanic. He is in a situation where radical change is necessary, but where only moderate and incremental change, gradual change, is tolerated, and barely that. Within a two-party system that manages the political process. So he has the power and baggage of representing an empire, while he has the power and baggage of a persona and personality tied to several diasporas. It is clear that much of the controversy around Barack Obama comes not from his words or policies, but rather from the confusion and the discomfort that comes from not knowing or not being sure on whose behalf, interests, and perspective he speaks. Let me give you a sample of that. The end of President Obama's speech before the UN. If you caught it, let me know. It was something, not, I don't want to overstate the connection, but not too dissimilar from what he did at the Democratic Party National Convention. He jumps in and out of identity when it suits the circumstance, when it furthers his interests. So today at the UN, not only did President Obama assume at times the role that he was elected into, but he jumped out of the day job, I call it, the Clark Kent type suit. And he picked up cultural identity, one of his many. Gaddafi still going, y'all? Woo. I hope you all will. I hope I can keep you all through this. I hope I can keep you all through this. This is very important. I want to make a point, because I am going to get political today. But you, if you try to understand President Obama through the right-left paradigm that has you believing that only white supremacists have a problem or are made uncomfortable by President Obama, I got news for you. Listen up.
As an African American, I will never forget that I would not...
Hold on one more time. As a what?
As an African American, I will never forget that I would not be here today without the steady pursuit of a more perfect union in my country. And that guides my belief that no matter how dark the day may seem, transformative change can be forged by those who choose to side with justice. And I pledge that America will always stand with those who stand up for their dignity and their rights. For the student who seeks to learn, the voter who demands to be heard, the innocent who longs to be free, the oppressed who yearns to be equal. Democracy cannot be imposed on any nation from the outside. Each society must search for its own path, and no path is perfect. Each country will pursue a path rooted in the culture of its people and in its past traditions. And I admit that America has too often been selective in its promotion of democracy. But that does not weaken our commitment. It only reinforces it. There are basic principles that are universal. There are certain truths which are self-evident. And the United States of America will never waver in our efforts to stand up for the right of people everywhere to determine their own destiny. Sixty-five years ago, a weary Franklin Roosevelt spoke to the American people in his fourth and final inaugural address. After years of war, he sought to sum up the lessons that could be drawn from the terrible suffering, the enormous sacrifice that had taken place. "We have learned," he said, "to be citizens of the world, members of the human community. The United Nations was built by men and women like Roosevelt from every corner of the world, from Africa and Asia, from Europe to the Americas. These architects of international cooperation had an idealism that was anything but naive. It was rooted in the hard-earned lessons of war, rooted in the wisdom that nations could advance their interests by acting together instead of splitting apart. Now it falls to us, for this institution will be what we make of it. The United Nations does extraordinary good around the world, feeding the hungry, caring for the sick, mending places that have been broken. But it also struggles to enforce its will and to live up to the ideals of its founding. I believe that those imperfections are not a reason to walk away from this institution. They are a calling to redouble our efforts. The United Nations can either be a place where we bicker about outdated grievances or forge common ground. A place where we focus on what drives us apart or what brings us together. A place where we indulge tyranny or a source of moral authority. In short, the United Nations can be an institution that is disconnected from what matters in the lives of our citizens. Or it can be an indispensable factor in advancing the interests of the people we serve. We have reached a pivotal moment. The United States stands ready to begin a new chapter of international cooperation.
Okay, see, he's back in emperor
mode. One that recognizes the rights and responsibilities of all nations. And so, with confidence in our cause and with a commitment to our values, we call on all nations to join us in building the future that our people so richly deserve.
Ooh, he's giving red meat to whoever needs it. To the black people, acknowledging that he was African American is all that black people need. Catch the Holy Ghost and fall out just because he said he was an African American at the UN. Now he went back into emperor mode, joined the United States toward living up to these principles.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Now, let me give you some of the commentary from Al Jazeera.
For the United States President Barack Obama as he concludes his speech to the United Nations. This is a very different reception that greeted his immediate predecessor. Warm applause for the U.S. President. Very much a speech about engagement. The time has come, he says, for the world to move in a new era, an era of engagement. Throughout his speech, he stressed the need for global cooperation, quoting one of his earlier predecessors, Franklin W. Roosevelt, saying that peace rests on the idea of global cooperation. This was his message to the United Nations, a message that came as well as he outlined what the United States has done for cooperation in the 9 months since he has taken office. He emphasized the degree to which it has chosen to engage with the United Nations, the degree to which it has chosen to engage with the wider international community, the steps it has taken, he says, to prove once again that the rule of law is paramount in the United States, and that as far as democracy is concerned, the United States will lead by example. He says the U.S. has been very selective about criticizing or accepting democracy in the past. This, a new voice from the United States, a new U.S. president, making quite clear of his desire to engage not only the United Nations, but the international community as a whole. Words, too, about nuclear disarmament, a commitment to achieving a nuclear-free universe. Words about the U.S.'s role in combating climate change. But underlying all of this, the absolute insistence that all of this can only be achieved, that deeds rather than words can only happen if there is cooperation, if there is multilateralism, and if all the nations of the world work together. I'm joined by Al Jazeera's senior political analyst, Marwan Bashara. That word repeated throughout there, cooperation, multilateralism, engagement. This is a very different tone from what we have heard in the past.
Instead of the war on terror, we have the war on unilateralism, Mike. This was a speech that it's obvious, very different from what we've heard from his predecessors. In fact, Mike, this speech could be divided into two parts. The first part, he was dispelling any misunderstanding that he might even look like anything like George W. Bush. However, he said, I will not apologize for advancing my own country's interests around the world. And he went on then to name all the policy changes and the proactive strategies that he had over 9 months since he took office to say, look, I am different, starting with closing Guantanamo and saying I will lead, as you said, by our values and hence no more torture in America. The second part, as you stated, was about where the United States and the world meet, why the world needs to work together, because the challenges facing the world are transnational, they are global, they are universal, and hence the world must work together to resolve it. I think today, Mike, the world has found a partner in the United States, and I think the United States has just rejoined the world as a party willing to play over the next 4 years at least.
Woo! That's strong words coming from Al Jazeera's political analyst. Now, I don't want to say thinking caps, but this is a little different today. Very easy to just say racist whites on the right hate Obama and then just start having a gossip session over that. Like you're really going to pull out a gun and do something about it. No, you're just going to email people and send people the link. You have a machine gun, machine link gun. That's what we do. So stop with all the militant talk, because only a very small percentage would do anything physical. Black women getting beat up, nobody running down to do anything. So stop it. Stop it. That's a controlled opposition argument. We had to think bigger beyond black white, or else you're not going to get Obama's power. You just got a taste of it there from the Al Jazeera analyst saying America has now rejoined the family of nations, essentially, just because of Barack Obama. A few things have changed policy-wise, but is it enough to really justify that kind of a statement? I don't know. You tell me. So let me go a little bit more. These are some of my remarks that I gave at George Mason University. Then I want to hit some of the Sunday talk shows.
Cedric Muhammad.